and my fellow Pennsylvanians.
This state's electoral votes are key to who wins the presidency, and both of the candidates know it.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal. You know that. Just like last time.
But states like Pennsylvania are going to be incredibly important.
The only thing left on the board is Pennsylvania. The president cannot get to the finish line without the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
One state all four candidates are visiting today is Pennsylvania. Its 20 electoral votes are highly coveted, and the Keystone State could end up being one of the determining factors in the race.
Jill's a Philly girl, but I'm a screen guy.
Oh, Pennsylvania, we love Pennsylvania.
On our last episode of season one, we're sitting down with an incredible husband and wife. I remember watching them last summer on TV and then later on YouTube and thinking that I would not be able to harness the strength that they did. They're lifelong residents of Lackawanna County. They live in Old Forge. And by the way, the pizza up in Old Forge is second to none. Joe's a public school teacher and a varsity baseball coach. Mary Grace is a nurse. I'm particularly grateful that Joe and Mary Grace, they're sharing their stories of the final 100 days of election 2020 and reliving an incredibly emotional time. So over the course of season one, our guests have given us their time and perspective unpackaging the 2020 election. The discussions around my kitchen table are nothing like the countless hours that each of these guests has spent deep in the campaign trenches of 2020. We've gone region by region. We've accumulated 4,500 listeners. And across Pennsylvania, we're still trying to understand why the Biden-Harris ticket did better than the Clinton-Kaine ticket 4 years prior. We also tried to analyze why so many Democrats on the same ballot came up short last year. Joe and Mary Grace, in very personal terms, helped me understand just how complex Pennsylvania politics are, how unique the 2020 election is, and how much I'm looking forward to unpackaging and discussing the 2022 race.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for some people to see an acting president here in their hometown. It was a big day for people in Old Forge. Hundreds of people lined Music Road to watch the president's motorcade go by.
Joe and Mary Grace Fidel, welcome to my kitchen table.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You know, if memory serves me, we are literally 1 year later from something very special happening down the street from you in Old Forge. So if you can remind listeners what was happening the third week of August in 2020, to the extent you want to relive these memories.
As I think back to that, to 1 year ago, it saddens my heart that so much has taken place since then. We had President Trump drive down the same street weeks after my mom had passed away from COVID, where I drove down the same street behind her funeral to the cemetery. And what is so sad is that he just drove by waving and just not a care in the world. And his supporters were gathered around maskless. And that's what's painful, is to see what transpired from that day and how much the pandemic grew to this day.
And what happened is what at the house that we're living in now, we're living in Mary Grace's mom's house. And we would watch the press conferences every day with the president and his team of scientists and advisors. And we were in a room and Mary Grace's mom would be in the other room. And every day we're watching it to get informed, because Mary Grace is a registered nurse and I'm a teacher. And after the third one, Mary Grace says to me, he's using this as a platform for his reelection. And he's not taking this serious. And we looked at each other and we're like, we got to do something. So I am immunocompromised. And, you know, Mary Grace's mom being 81 years old, she said, I am going to live down here because it's safer to be down here and you'll just come down to eat dinner with us so I can come up from see my patients and shower down here. That's the sacrifices we're going to make with this pandemic because we don't know anything about it. And then, you know, that happens. Mayor's mom gets sick. And then all of a sudden, a year later, he drives down the same street that we drove down. And it was just devastating to us as he's waving to all of his supporters.
And at the time, we were one of maybe 2,000 people that were holding a Biden sign. And I'm a registered Republican. So for me, the first thing I did was cleaned out my mom's house and threw the Republican Trump sign away, because I felt that it was a disaster he saw coming. Later on, we just found out that he did know it. So yeah, this year, this day, a year ago is tough. It's tough.
And she was a big supporter of the former president, a big supporter, as all of lower Lackawanna County and Luzerne County, big supporters of former President Trump.
And that's because we were raised in the Republican Party to always, always vote Republican. And we didn't question it when we were growing up until we got older. So then, you know, after we saw we couldn't relate to Trump, I decided to go with a more liberal candidate. And I really liked Joe Biden.
And so did her brother. Her brother is a Republican out in Arizona. And they just couldn't fathom what the information he kept from the American people about this virus and the pandemic.
In my faith tradition, we have an expression, may her memory be for a blessing. And I lost my mother less than 3 years ago. So there's really no words, as you know. A lot to unpackage and discuss there. Maybe if we could just take a few steps back. You're both born and raised in Lackawanna County?
Yes.
Yes.
And I was somewhat surprised that you referenced being a registered Republican, you know, even, I suppose, a few years ago, if I'm doing my math correctly, when you would have first registered to vote, Mary Grace. So because my reference is that Lackawanna County was significantly bluer,
yes,
much more Democratic as you look back. Mm-hmm. Over the last generation or two. So mm-hmm. if you could talk a little about that, registering as a Republican when you did, and kind of demographic changes in the county as you were growing
up. Sure. I remember President Reagan and the Reagan politics back then when I was much younger, and just discussing the politics at the dinner table. And we are a Catholic family also. So social reasons also were much prominent in our family. I was elected also as a school board director on the Republican ticket for the school district that I lived in. And it wasn't questioned, I guess you could say. Our values and back in the day when I registered, it just wasn't questioned. I would register Republican and that's the way I would vote. I was told who I was voting for. I came from a strict Italian family who are immigrants from Italy. And the matriarch spoke, that's what you did. So...
And Joe, what about you? You're a public school teacher, and certainly our listeners know that PSEA and elsewhere in the Commonwealth, AFT, but incredibly powerful and great organizing around election time, the teachers' unions. But when you were growing up, what were your politics?
I am a registered Democrat, as you say, with the union, strong supporter of the union with the NEA. So I vote Democratic, and I am a true blue Democrat. Growing up, usually politics didn't really play a big role in my family growing up. They're blue collar. I was the first one to graduate college in my family. So really didn't really speak politics growing up. But, you know, this past election, there was a lot of divide. You know, I was the only one that was for President Biden. And I think a lot of people in our families, we're like the outcasts for President Biden.
So one other point I wanted to unpackage. If I heard you correctly, Mary Grace, your brother's down in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is just kind of one small anecdote of what's happened in Pennsylvania as the Sun Belt and the Southwest is gaining congressional seats. And the population of Pennsylvania, according to the census, has shrunk and we're going to lose a congressional seat. So to the extent, I don't think we have any Arizona listeners. They can have their own Arizona politics podcast. But to the extent you could share that your brother moving away from NEPA, as too many folks have done.
Yeah, he did move away from NEPA. He's the CEO of a medical device company. And he loves Tucson. And out there, he went as a registered Republican. And he now changed his registration. He's now registered Democrat.
And then if I can ask you guys, why, Joe, did you decide to go into education? And Mary Grace, why did you decide to go into healthcare?
I like being around kids and influencing kids and giving them hope and making them feel good about themselves. And, you know, as a public service, being a coach and, you know, doing the public right. You know, a lot of kids come, you know, you don't know what they come from, and give them back to the community.
For me, it was more of a vocation. I felt that I wanted to give back in a way that was in a more of a spiritual sense, and helping people with through doing right, the right thing, the next right thing for the people that I serve.
Well, thank you both. Your two professions, I think arguably more than any others over this challenging 17 months, have been right there on the front lines. I want to go back to this week last year. I mean, what were you and your neighbors thinking when you heard that the president of the United States and Air Force One was going to land there in Avoca, and the president of the United States was going to come to Old Forge, Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania?
I thought, how dare he? How dare he? For number one, encouraging a mass gathering. There's no question, people that supported him gathered in the groups and they wanted to see him. It was more like a superstar instead of a president. And so that was number one. He wasn't setting a good example there. And I thought, you're going to drive down Music Road, the same road I just drove down, and with a funeral for my mom. And you're going to not have a mask on. You're going to encourage your followers to do the same thing. And I thought, this is just ridiculous. So I stood outside with my Biden sign and got cursed at, and, you know, it wasn't fun, but I thought, somebody has to do it. And
if this was 5 years ago, if it was August of 2016, do you think the same emotions and cutting the partisan divisions with a knife through the air? I mean, was it that intense then? Or do you think that communities like Old Forge and Archbald and these smaller communities outside of Scranton were in one column versus the other?
I think that you could cut it with a knife last year, but not so much 4 years ago in 2016. I think that really we have become divided, and it started really showing its ugly teeth last year.
You know, Ari, we would talk politics because we look at ourselves as educated people. And so what's on the news, what's in the newspaper, we read about stuff, what's on social media, we read about it, and, you know, we talk about it. We really got involved last year, what happened with Grace, and we said enough's enough, and we got involved. We usually don't get involved because of our jobs. You know, a lot of people as school teachers with the union, they get involved. But as a coach, you stay neutral, you know, because you could turn people off that maybe might not come out and play for you. Or, you know, as a registered nurse, you go in someone's house, you know, as a home healthcare worker, and then you might have friction, you know, and you don't want that because, you know, mayor wants to take care of the person. But when that happened, we said, okay, we're getting involved. And we can't have this president be president anymore. We're going to do whatever we could so that candidate Biden could win Pennsylvania. And, you know, Mary Grace did an online commercial for President Biden, and she got over 2 million views. And I think it was his most views as online. Now, it didn't make TV because it was a little negative to, you know, the former president, and his press team was like, we wanted to have it on TV, but, you know, candidate Biden was like, no, we don't want to go negative. That's the type of gentleman he is, you know, because it showed President Trump, the infamous, when he's at the White House and he takes off his mask, you know, when he was supposed to have COVID and stuff like that coming off Marine One and, you know, all that stuff. But it was, you know, it got over 2 million views. And just for on social media, you know, that's pretty impressive. And we got involved. And, you know, I think was the last year at this time in September, I asked candidate Biden if the federal government, which I know is controlled locally, are they going to mandate a vaccine for schools? Well, that's all that they're talking about right now. Should the students be mandated a vaccine to return to school?
Like the MMR vaccine.
To protect each other, to protect the faculty and staff. And I asked him that on his first town hall on CNN. And now that's all they're talking about. I know in Florida, where the Florida governor said, hey, you know, if I'm going to withhold salaries, if superintendents require masks, and, you know, and I know our governor, Governor Wolf, said he's not going to require them. But if the cases keep going up, and I teach in a rural school district, and parents, you don't know if kids have vaccines, and you know, they're free and they're giving them out, but you can't say, hey, did you have your vaccine? As a teacher, administrator, you have to go on someone's word.
Joe, I got a lot to unpackage there, but I completely forgot that you're a coach. Remind listeners which sport.
I coach varsity baseball right now.
Oh, okay. I never know when I'm chatting with friends in Northeast PA. Are you a Phillies fan, a Yankees fan?
I am a Pirates fan. I'm a New York Yankee fan, but I am a Pirates fan because of Max Kranick, and I'm a newly San Francisco Giant fan because of Mason Black. They both played at Valley View High School.
Great coach.
Where I coach.
Well, I know for a fact that we have some Valley View alumni who are avid listeners of this podcast.
Yes.
But so I certainly remember last year, but remind listeners, so, and just maybe get a little granular behind the scenes, how did that go down? That the Biden campaign asked you if you'd be open to recording an ad that, you know, it's 350 million Americans. That doesn't happen to all of us. So was it intimidating? I mean, it's certainly an honor, but tell folks a little more about that.
So somebody contacted Joe after they saw him on CNN. Joe was invited to CNN with Anderson Cooper when they were here doing the town hall. And
well, maybe, so, sorry, Mary Grace, maybe we'll start with that chronologically. So
well,
you need to rewind again to where we started, which was okay. When President Trump drove down Music World in Old Forge, because at that point, from out of nowhere, a New York Times reporter parked in front of my mom's house. And that's where it all started. So we got to meet Tripp Gabriel, who was the reporter sent from the New York Times. And he said, what's with the Biden sign? Donald Trump is coming. And we told him the story of our mom that just passed away and how I was a registered Republican and a registered nurse and how I had just lost my mom to COVID and I could not support Donald Trump. So on my mom's front porch outside our door right now is where it started with the New York Times reporter. So then once the New York Times reporter ran our story when he covered the president coming to Old Forge is when I was contacted, right? I was contacted, yes, by American Bridge, which is a super PAC. Yep. For the Democrats. And they got my story. It ended up being that I recorded a Zoom with them and it was going to commercial to TV. At that point, CNN had called and reached out to Joe.
To you.
To me, right, to me. But I was seeing patients. I couldn't take the call and they needed an answer like that day. So I'll let Joe take it.
And it was just like fill out questions. It was just random and they picked them. And I filled out, you're able to fill out three questions. I filled out one question and I did it at baseball practice with other assistant coaches. While the kids were stretching, I also coached for baseball U in the fall league. And I did it with the assistant coaches and I just filled it out real quick and I submit it and they picked it. And you weren't guaranteed to ask candidate Biden a question. And so we pulled up, it was at PNC Field. It was, you know, outside town hall because that's how he was doing it, you know, socially distanced. And all of a sudden the executive producer said, your question was selecting, you're going to be in one of the first five in the first commercial break before the first commercial break. And there you are on national TV live. And Mara was like, thank God they selected you to do it. And, you know, I went up there and all of a sudden my phone was in my pocket. My phone was blown up. Like, is that really you? You know,
and yeah, it was a special moment because he had asked the president-elect, soon to be president, if the vaccinations were going to be mandated. And he told the vice president at the time, I don't want my wife to lose another best friend like she just lost her mom. And Joe Biden at that time looked over at me and just said, I'm so sorry. And it was just, you just knew that even the way he carried himself, it was almost as if he was the grandfather to the country at that time. I was more in mourning. I'm still mourning the loss of my mom, but he heard us. He heard us. And that's how I came to say, all right, whatever I could do to help this guy get elected, I'm going to do. And yeah. About a day after that is when the Biden campaign from Pennsylvania reached out to Joe and asked him his story. And he's like, wait, you have to hear my wife's story. Yeah. And, you know, as a nurse. And then she said, I'm going to send this along to the DC campaign. And so that's when the DC campaign contacted us. And they were just three people, a camera guy. And
which the camera guy was the guy that would follow him around, that followed him during the debates. And so we had like, because the campaign manager or the social director for the campaign, he was like, I'm going to film Mary Grace's commercial. You're going to do a commercial also. We're going to get footage of Mayor and we're going to get footage of you. Now, unfortunately, mine didn't make it. You know, it got lost on the cutting room floor. But we both were in Bruce Springsteen's video of Joe Biden with My Hometown. Oh, we were. Mine was my back of my head coaching, but Mara was in there. You know, we're the only two local Scranton people, the suburbs of that, which, you know, anytime you're in a Bruce Springsteen video, you know, you have that going for you, which is nice, you know.
But through it all, it was about putting purpose to my mom's death and just trying to save lives as we move forward. That I channeled my grief into purpose. And, you know, later in the year, in December and in January, I then lost my aunt and uncle to COVID as well.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
The two of you have been super generous with your time. And, you know, I think there's so many factors that went into President Biden. It's great to say President Biden accumulating an additional 10,000 votes in Lackawanna County than the Clinton ticket did 5 years ago. But give folks a sense, maybe it's 2020 hindsight, it's difficult, but in that final 48 hours before Election Day, did you feel quite confident that the Biden ticket was going to win Lackawanna County and win the Commonwealth, or you still thought, it's a nail biter here?
You know, you're giving me the chills just asking that question. And yeah, it was a nail biter. And we were worried. And it was a day that we took a picture of ourselves and held our little ticket up that says I voted. And we went back home and just waited for the ticker to come on. And I went to bed crying that night, thinking he lost. I literally cried myself to sleep. And I woke up the next morning and he comes upstairs and he's like, we got a chance. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, Mary, he goes, the numbers are starting to turn. And as I'm even telling the story now, I'm getting the chills thinking about it again, because it was just such a remarkable turn as we saw the numbers coming in from the mail-in ballots. And that's just this whole election from day one. The Trump supporters or the Republicans said, you're never going to win because there's nobody ever at your campaign. Look at the people that go to Trump's campaign. How is he going to win? How is Biden never going to win? And they did it in a way that protected the next person. They voted through mail and they did what they had to do to get the vote out.
And Ari, I actually listened to your former boss, right? With the map behind him, you know, Senator Casey, you know, he was awesome, right? Every day he was talking, he was breaking down the counties and he was saying that. And I would tell Mayor, hey, you know, Senator Casey said this, and he said that. He goes, you know, don't panic. The votes are, this many votes are counted. You know, there's still this batch. And, you know, I kept her up to date. And it's funny because with Senator Casey, Mary Grace was at a speaking engagement with Senator Casey. And she spoke and he spoke and she left because she doesn't think she speaks well in public. Right. And she always tells me, well, you know, you're a public school teacher. You could just do it from the hip. Right. And I'm like, you know, you speak very well. And I stayed because how often, even though he's from Scranton, and I've seen him at basketball games when his son played for Scranton Prep and stuff like that. I wanted to meet him. Right. To say, hey, you met. You know, and I even told him, I said, I wanted to meet you because I wanted to meet, I would say in my lifetime that I met two presidents, you know, President Biden and, you know, Senator Casey, who's going to hopefully be, you know, a future president. And he started laughing, right? And I told him Mary Grace was my wife. And he was like, really? He goes, she did a great job. Did she ever think about running for office? Right. He goes, we need more females that could speak like her. And she, and I was like, hey, you know, she's a great writer. Do you have any space on your staff? You know, and he started laughing, but really nice guy, you know, but.
And what meant a lot is that he showed up for a COVID event that was memorializing people that had passed away from COVID in NEPA. And he took a Saturday, an hour or two out of his Saturday day off to come and support us, which meant so much to me. And I know I can't speak on behalf of everyone that was there, but I'm sure they felt the same way.
Well, thank you both of reliving the emotional roller coaster that the last year and a half has been with the ups, the downs. And you are bringing back good memories. I remember that this is certainly before my time, but Senator Casey's first job, you'll appreciate this, Joe, was as an educator and yep. as a basketball coach yep. at a grade school in Philadelphia. And Mary Grace, you referenced the Catholic faith, was through the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. So yeah, I had forgotten about those maps, but he was educating the country about the county by county dynamics during that uncertain week. So I just really appreciate it. Thank you so much. As we wind down this first season, I'm going to go out on a limb at the risk of other guests hearing this and saying this was the most powerful and meaningful discussion we've had thus far. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for having us. You know, and anytime we could speak about Gracie, you know, she was a very, very quiet lady, but very, very big hearted. And, you know, get her story out there. We're so happy to do that. Thank you so much for giving us this platform.
You're very welcome.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics. As Hillary Clinton used to say, it takes a village. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Sarah McGrath and Jake Schwartz. If you liked this discussion, we would love for you to give us a review, subscribe, and rate us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a suggestion on a future guest and other feedback, visit our website, papoliticspodcast.org. Don't forget to follow us on social media at PA Political Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.